Bridget actually said to the class, I don't nurture talent. That's not my job. My job is to get that talent employed so I can make money. It sounded like a really harsh thing to say, I have to say. But nevertheless, you know what? There's some truth to it.
Welcome to Casting Actors Cast. Insights for actors on acting in the business of show. Casting director Jeffrey Dreisbach takes you behind the scenes and reveals secrets to a successful acting career. You can find out more on the web at castingactorscast.com. Please enjoy, like, and share Casting Actors Cast. Now, here's your host, Jeffrey Dreisbach.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of Casting Actors Cast. How are you? How you doing today? I hope you're having a good day. I'm really thrilled to be here today, and I really appreciate you tuning in to listen. This is Casting Actors Cast, where we give insights and advice on acting and the business of show. So if you're hoping to hear some inside tips and suggestions on how to do well in the business and how to keep your career growing, then I think you've tuned into the right place. Thank you. This is that portion of the podcast where I let you know that you can get all of the previous episodes of Casting Actors Cast on the website. It is, ironically enough, castingactorscast.com. All one word, castingactorscast.com. And I think you already know how much I appreciate you tuning into the podcast. It's a great pleasure for me to do this. And as long as I have listeners listening, I'm going to keep on doing these podcasts. So please let me know that you're out there by going to the website, Casting Actors Cast. There are a couple of ways in which you can stay in touch with me. One is by simply clicking on leave a message. And the other is that you can actually leave a voice message. It's kind of cool. It's a new app that I downloaded on the website. And that is you just click a button and the microphone comes up and you can just leave any kind of question or comment or concern, or maybe there's an episode you'd like to hear more information about. So simply go to castingactorscast.com, and thank you again. Now, speaking of asking questions, I was really thrilled to get a contact form message from the website from a listener, and I thought that the listener's entire series of questions would really be quite useful, because these are questions that I think you might have from previous episodes. So I'm going to read the entire email, and then I'm going to break up each of the answers to the questions, because I think it's really worthwhile spending a moment in responding to these important questions. And Ahmet writes, hello, Jeffrey. I listened to your Keeping in Touch episode, and I'm wondering if an actor does not have representation, how valuable is the idea of keeping in touch? How often would you say you've brought in someone to audition because you've received periodic updates and postcards from them? And then the third question, given that you're a busy office, you must get thousands of submissions for a role. How do you consider people who have taken your class or sends you updates first, then go on submissions? Question mark. Lastly, if you were an actor now in NYC and knowing what you know now as a casting director, would you be spending your money taking classes with other casting directors? Thanks and enjoy listening, Ahmed. Well, thank you so much, Ahmed. Those are four. I thought they were three. And then I reread the email. They're actually four really, really excellent questions. So what I thought would be great is to just simply go through your email and answer the question spontaneously, give you whatever insights I have regarding these questions. So the first question is, I'm wondering if an actor does not have representation, how valuable is the idea of keeping in touch? Now, I think this is a really excellent question, because you might assume from that previous episodes, and by the way, go to Casting Actors Cast because you can get all of the previous episodes. So far, we're up to number 36. So I encourage you to kind of look at the titles and maybe read a few of the descriptions and see if there's some information there that you might want. But this particular episode was done a few, three or four weeks ago, I guess, keeping in touch. Maybe even longer. My brain, I don't always quite remember. Anyway, so we talked literally about how do you maintain contact with your agent, and I really kind of made a bit of a mistake by making it only about your agent, because the reality is, if you don't have representation, then keeping the contacts alive by going to those agents who you are interested in having represent you is part of that list that you should be maintaining contact with. So just because you don't have representation, that doesn't mean you shouldn't have a regularly scheduled contact via email or postcard to agents and casting directors, especially those agents and casting directors who you know through your research, talking to other friends, going online. If you know that these casting directors, for example, are working on a specific show that you're interested in being on, maybe it's shooting here in New York or shooting in Los Angeles, then you should really make a structured effort to send out correspondence to any of those people who might be of help to you in your career. So I think keeping in touch is extremely valuable. Because here's the other thing, not from your point of view, but take it from our point of view, that the way that we think about actors is that they are absolutely necessary to the work that we do. But also, it's not useful for us as casting directors to take big risks with bringing in folks whose work we're not familiar with. We as casting directors have to be able to talk well about you and have enough information about you and your work so that we, with confidence, can bring you into an audition. And so when you send a postcard, you're really starting that sort of first line of communication in terms of developing a relationship. Now, relationships are developed over time. If, for example, I'm watching an episode and I happen to see a small part that you're playing on a television episode, and then I get a postcard from you, or I get a postcard from you that says, hey, I'm on this particular episode, please watch. You know, I'm much more motivated to not only watch, but now I have additional information about you as an actor. And that can go a long way towards bringing you in for an audition. I think that makes sense. A blind postcard to a casting director or to an agent is a little more challenging because we get inundated with those kinds of correspondence. But that should not prevent you from sending things to us, especially, and this is as I mentioned in that episode, if there is a specific reason that you're sending it to me. And reasons can be as varied as your imagination and your business acumen. Acumen, that's a pretty good word. And that means that if you're taking a new class, if you've gotten a booking on anything, and you're writing to an agent saying, I'm booked on this and don't have representation and would love to have a chance to talk to you, that's a highly motivating reason for an agent to go, well, here's a working actor who doesn't have representation. Let me pursue this. Same with a casting director. You develop relationships with casting directors over time. It's not magical. It just simply happens over time. As you get to know us, we get to know you, and keep thinking in terms of being the CEO of your own company. And your marketing is just part of the overall strategy towards not only seeking representation, but getting yourself into the scope, for lack of a better way to say it, of the opportunities that are out there from casting directors. I hope that answers the question. Second, how often would you say you brought in someone to audition because you've received periodic updates and postcards from them? Well, the answer is I'm more likely to bring somebody in if they're sending periodic updates and postcards, only because it's reminding me that you are out there. You know, we're not superhuman brainiacs in the casting office. I'm probably the lowest on the totem pole in terms of brainiacness because, I don't know if this is a male thing, but I kind of think it is, but that's very sexist, I guess, for me to say. But I'm kind of only a one-trick pony. I'm only thinking of that particular project that I might be working on at any given time. Now, that's not to say I ignore everything else that's coming my way in terms of correspondence and contacts from people and classes, things like that. But I am sort of highly motivated to make sure that the project I'm working on is being fully realized for that producer or director. My vision is a little more myopic than, let's say, Pat's vision is. And Pat has one of those brains where she can literally have five or six projects going on simultaneously. But nevertheless, a correspondence, and if she knows your work or she's not familiar with your work, but you write a postcard saying, hey, I'm on this episode of thus and so, or I've booked this theater job at such and such, then the motivation is very, very high to investigate that actor a little bit further. But that is probably not going to happen because A, we're not these super brainiacs, but B, we didn't get a postcard from you. So if you choose not to send a postcard to us, then there's probably less likely chance that we're going to bring you in. But how often does that happen? Well, it happens frequently. I can't really put a number to it. For here's an example. I've just finished working on a casting session for a national tour or touring show of play, a project called Turning 15 on the Road to Freedom. It's a really wonderful adaptation of a book regarding the civil rights movement in the 60s. And we were looking for non-union actors of color who could play the various roles. Even the ensemble people all had several roles in which they're playing, and they had to have really excellent voices as well. So I had a very challenging, especially because of this time of year, I had a challenging task ahead of me in terms of finding people that were going to fit the breakdown that I sent out over Actors Access. And so I got a lot of returns from that. I got a lot of people who were interested in doing it. But then I also did receive some postcards. So my motivation was really high. And any person that sent me a postcard, I scrutinized. And there was a really strong chance that if you had some good, solid singing in your background and you had a few nice, not overwhelmingly fantastic, but some nice credits behind you, there was a strong chance that you were going to be receiving an audition for that. Now, that's less likely to happen when we're working on a feature film because we get inundated with requests from agents, and because it's union, we have to make sure that we scrutinize all of the union talent. So if you're a non-union talent interested in being seen for this particular picture, the likelihood is much less. Does that mean you shouldn't send it? No, that just simply means that when you put a postcard in your mailbox, you have to forget about it. You have to just say, well, that's one thing I can check off my list of things to do today, and then just simply move on. By chance, if there's something lands my desk and it looks like it's really right and I do the required research, then there's a really good chance I could bring you in. But there is a less likelihood. So that's question number two. How often would you say? I would say it's pretty often, but it is dependent on the kind of project that we're working on. So I hope that answers the question. I hope it doesn't beg off the question too much, because I know that there is this sincere interest in getting some kind of a magic formula to make this work. And sadly, there isn't one. It's a systematic, structured approach that is going to help you achieve those goals that you set out for yourself. I promise you. So here's the next question. Given that you're a busy office, you must get thousands of submissions for a role. Do you consider people who have taken your class or send you updates first, then go to submissions? Well, that is also a very, very good question. I think that question is referring much more to the timing of things. And depending upon the timing, it all can kind of converge at the same time. If I'm teaching a class and we're working on a project, or we know of an upcoming project that we're working on, yeah, there's a really good chance that if I see some really excellent talent that fits the bill, there's a stronger likelihood that I'm going to bring you in for an audition. But that is not over and above the submissions that we also get. So one doesn't supersede the other. It's kind of a simultaneous convergence of people who I know in my scope and people who are submitted from agents. And we do get hundreds and hundreds of submissions for particular films that we're working on or television projects that we're working on. I wouldn't say we get thousands of submissions. The likelihood of a day player role in a smaller feature film with a budget of over $1 million to $2.5 million picture, we might get 400 to 500 submissions for that particular role. But we don't get thousands. Now, if we're doing a huge blockbuster motion picture, that number does go up. But again, you might be thinking in terms of it being just an overwhelming amount. And we have a systematic approach to how we go through the talent submissions. Plus, we go through our classes. We go through any resource that's out there and available to us. Now, I don't want to imply that if you take a class with a casting director, that there's a much stronger likelihood that you're going to be brought in. And this is a very touchy subject for a lot of casting directors. Many casting directors don't teach. And the reason that they don't teach is they think it might be a conflict of interest. They may feel that, why should I put myself into a situation where I'm getting paid to watch people act for me when, in fact, that is my job, to find people to act for me? My view is slightly different, but I'm very sensitive to the subject. Here's why. I will only teach classes where I can provide the actor with usable, sustainable, helpful, realistic feedback. There is no promise or guarantee that you're going to get a job because you take a class from a casting director. I do my very, very best to make sure that the classes I do teach are extremely worthwhile. I happen to really love teaching. I'm very passionate about it. I'm passionate about seeing what I call the cocoon to butterfly, somebody who doesn't have a lot of experience or somebody who hasn't been in the profession for a long period of time or people who've been in the profession for a long period of time. I love to see the actors grow as a result of some feedback or some tips, some advice, some nurturing. All of those things are things I pride myself when I teach classes. So I can really justify teaching because I honestly believe that I'm helping to make the community of actors stronger and better. I know that may sound pretentious. I don't mean it to. I just feel really good about giving back things that I didn't get when I was an actor. Now, having said that, there have been many, many occasions when I recall an actor that I've worked with from a class to come in and audition. So that does happen. I just believe strongly that that should not be an expectation when you sign up for a class. What you should get out of it is the information, the instruction, and the growth that you experience as a result of the teaching and learning process. And the final question, if you were an actor now in New York City and knowing what you know as a casting director, would you be spending your money taking classes with other casting directors? Well, this sort of piggybacks off of the statement I just made about working with casting directors, but I think that taking classes with casting directors is a really smart idea. And here's why. One is, for example, if you want to go on Law and Order SVU, which is shooting here in New York, then you should consider taking a class with Jonathan Strauss. Jonathan Strauss was the casting director on Law & Order for many years. Now he's executive producer, but occasionally he still teaches a class in acting on Law & Order. Now, what you should know about Dick Wolf Productions is that the acting style in all of these Law & Order, Law & Order SVU, Chicago Med, all of those Dick Wolf productions, there's a very specific acting style that is looked for. And if you're not quite familiar with that style, taking a class will really give you that skill set. So you'll have a really much stronger inside view of what it is to act for that particular show because it's a stylistic choice that is being looked for when those shows get cast. So absolutely, from somebody who has that much experience, and I have happened to work with Jonathan 100 years ago when I was executive director of a training school in New York, and it was really a great pleasure, and he's really a knowledgeable guy. So by all means, that would be a great reason to take from a casting director. I mean, there's another casting director would be Kim Misha, Bowling Misha. She is not only a wonderful human being and a great lady, but she does, I don't know, maybe 10 to a dozen pilots during pilot season. I mean, it's just an amazing amount of work that they have, and they get all of these pilots. And if she's teaching a class on how to audition for a pilot, then boy, well, I can't think of a better way to learn that specific skill set that might be necessary that you might not have experience in. Now, should you think that she might bring you in for an audition? I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't make that the defining reason for taking a class. If it happens, that's great. But the expectation should be a learning experience in the classroom with somebody who's doing it. I would refrain from taking classes from people who aren't actually working in the chosen field. That's just my personal opinion. I always think that if you're a professional, you should work with other professionals, and that means that they're working in the field that they're teaching. Having said that, there are some fantastic acting teachers that are out there. They're not necessarily acting, but that's different. That's a different question than you're asking on it. I believe that casting directors can be a fantastic resource of learning. And if by chance they happen to think of you for a particular project down the road, then all so much the better. My regret was that I didn't do enough of those kinds of classes when I started acting. So I would absolutely, depending upon your financial situation, make sure that you investigate the kinds of classes that are out there. You'll just have to do your research, word of mouth, talking to other actors. But as you do the research, you're going to find that there is a clear-cut level of experience that these people in the profession have that can be helpful to you in terms of learning, not in terms of booking you. Wow. Time just flies, doesn't it? I hope that that's been helpful, and I just really want to put my thanks so much to Amit out there who sent me these questions, and I look forward to having you come back. Please come back. Please listen to some past episodes. Let me know that you're listening, because I really, really appreciate it. And thanks. This is Casting Actors Cast.
You've been listening to Casting Actors Cast with host Jeffrey Dreisbach. Find out more at castingactorscast.com and let us know if you would like us to cover topics you're interested in. Thanks for listening. I'm Matthew DeSarno.